I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Oh, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
For God is great
and greatly to be praised. Let everything praise the Lord.
Let everything
that hath breath praise the Lord.
Let everything praise the Lord. For God
is great
and greatly to be praised.
Let everything praise the Lord. Oh, yes.
Let everything
that hath breath praise the Lord.
Did anybody leave home tonight with the idea that when you got here, Brother Smith was going to be here? I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm not him. But I did receive a phone call from him to the effect that Sister Smith is real sick, really sick, and stand in need of her prayers. And Brother Smith said, I just feel like I need to stay home with her and help with Grandma Smith and even help her some. And he said, if he gets that all taken care of before the night's out, he's going to try to go to the hospital, maybe see Brother Jerry. And by the way, the report on him, if you haven't gotten the latest, is Brother Jerry's doing real good. That's what I understand. The doctors, at first, what they told them they were going to do when they went in to do surgery, they were going to replace two of the valves, two arteries, I think. They were going to replace two of the arteries. And when they got in there, they replaced three of them. And, they come back and give a report to the effect that he made it through the surgery good. And, I think that's great, don't you? I really do. And then he also told them, he said, there is another artery in his left arm that I could use for that fourth artery, but he said he'll do much better with the three that he's got now, and if he has to have another surgery another 10 years from now or so, we got another artery to go and get. So, I thought that was good news, really, really good news in his case. Anyway, we're thankful for the Lord helping the surgeons through that situation. I'm thankful for it. I'm really thankful, aren't you? Anyway, Brother Joe Lacey is working late tonight. He's going to be in a little bit later. Brother Boyd has developed another infection in his leg, so he's at the doctor now. And Sister Boyd is at home sick, and Sister Tanya, Brother Painter's daughter, is sick, and Sister Gladys is staying with her. So we need to go to the Lord in prayer and then pray for the service tonight, that the Lord will lead us and touch us. Appreciate these songs that were sung. Appreciate the band and the song they played. I'm thankful for the knowledge that we have and the understanding. I appreciate that song that Sister Bryant was singing there, talking about this is the day that the Lord hath made. He hath made me glad. I think that I'm kind of one of these futuristic type thinking people. I think toward toward the day that the Lord has got his church set up. That's the day of the Lord, really. And I thought there's a scripture that Brother Smith went over last week, I think, in the book of Hebrews, and thought I might read it to you tonight. I'm not really going to preach. I did bring my Bible, but it's because I can't quote the scripture real good like I'd like to. But anyway, in the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews, 19th verse, I hope we're all realizing that this writer was writing to a group of people that had been exposed to everything that God has. That church was in full bloom, and I can recognize and realize that with all the things that were happening to the people of God, that especially the Jews could get pretty discouraged in all of those things that was taking place. But this writer is telling them and reinforcing them in their minds how that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one. All the Old Testament is talking about Jesus. And he's doing such a beautiful job of it. And I know that we, in times past, I've been guilty of it. Now that I've read through this book thinking that this applies to us now. But it can't apply to us now because we don't have a restored church. We're not living in a restored church yet. That's what we're working on. We're trying to get this church restored and back into that glorious place that it was in back there with those apostles. That's what we're working on. But I thought here in the 19th verse, when he made this statement, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I thought, my Lord, what a promise. What an encouraging statement that they had there, especially when you recognize that the high priest was the only one that could go in behind into the holiest of holies, and he could only do it once a year. But now we have a high priest that's on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He was telling them, you have somebody that's there that you can talk to. He's qualified. He's our high priest. He's the one we can call on. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. So, anyway, when I read that, I thought, my Lord, what a tremendous statement that was to a group of people that understood that Old Testament so much better than we do. You know, they really understood it much better than we do, because I wasn't raised up on the Old Testament. I didn't have all those laws written in my mind, or, you know, on the cuffs of my sleeves and, you know, on the hem of my garments. I wasn't tutored in those laws and those ordinances and that Old Testament like the Hebrews were. But anyway, Paul or whoever this writer was, and I'm kind of like Brother Smith, I'm strongly believing it's Paul. If it wasn't Paul, it was somebody that was extremely knowledgeable, very knowledgeable. I mean, boy, he went back and he gathered up all those things and began to focus them on Jesus and show how that he was the one that came forth and fulfilled all those scriptures back there. And that they had a hope. They had a hope. My Lord. And today, we have a hope. You know, we have a hope. A lot of people don't realize that, but we have a hope. And Brother Smith was talking, I think he made mention of this last Sunday or Sunday night, wasn't it, to the effect that, you know, he's been telling some men, look, you're going to die. You're not going to make the bride yet. It's not available to you yet. And they said, if you take that away from me, you deprive me of all my hope. Oh, no. I told Sister Ann when I first heard this message, we were living in Hot Springs, and I drove down there after Sunday night service, and I walked through the back door. I said, Ann, we've got more hope than we thought we had. She said, this, I want to hear it. I sat down there to the kitchen table and went through it with her. She said, my Lord, we got more hope than we ever thought was possible. Well, really, we had that hope before. We just didn't know nothing about it. But now we know something about it. We got it. Hallelujah. Woo. So, you know, we're not taking anything away from anybody. We're giving them something more to go on. Giving them something more to go on. This is a life worth living. It's a life worth living. And, you know, if you like life, you know, you ought to look around and think a little bit. Do I really like living? Well, let me put it this way. If you like what you're enjoying now, folks, that God has for us is going to be so much better than this. Woo! I want to be there. I want to see it. I want to help bring it about, you know. Anyway, so that's kind of my message for the night. You fellas can do the rest of it. But we do need to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to touch these people and touch them in a special way. Any other requests that we have, Sister Linda? He was going to request prayer, or you ought to request it. Okay, she already got that took care of. All right, Brother Wallace. All right. Sister Durham. They determined what his problem was? Not yet. All right. Let's pray for him. All right, anyone else? Yes. I've never known of anybody that's just, you know, jumping up and down and ready to go to a doctor. All right, let's pray for Sister Lacey. Sister Smith. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. Sister Crafton. Forgive me, Brother Michael. Sister Smith. All right. Brother Sister Crow, and there's others. There's some others that's on our list that not thinking of right now. Who is this? Brother Sister Crow. Sister Anna. Brother Paul's still working. Well, thank God he's got a job. Be nice, though, if he could kind of slow down a little bit, wouldn't it? All right. Brother Nathan is working tonight, so just remember him. Yes, ma'am. Your grandpa. All right, we'll remember him. All right. Just remember that. All right, let's all go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to touch these requests. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your blessings and your mercy overshadowing us. Lord, reach it down with your mighty hand and touch these needs among your people. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for overshadowing Brother Jerry and keeping him this far. We ask you, Lord, to lift him up off of that bed of affliction and bring him to church. Let him give his own testimony, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Let your spirit move in our midst tonight, dear Lord, in a greater way. We appreciate you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst, how you're moving among us. We ask you, Lord, to continue these moves. Lord, touch our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, touch Brother Joseph. Touch these people, Lord, that are sick tonight. Need a special touch. Lord, Brother Sister Boyd. Sister Tanya. Oh, God. Touch them, Lord. We pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Alrighty. Thank God. Thank God. Let's all just give him a praise right quick for what he's done for us. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercies, and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for touching your people. Hallelujah, for being in our midst and with us. Oh, God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. I'm sorry. Where's that?
McGowan was reading that scripture in Hebrews, and I was reading a list just this week about vehicles, cars, autos, and it had a list of like 15 worry-free vehicles. Of course, you probably know what the ones on there, but anyway, of course, we happen to be driving one of them that on that list too, and it's been a good car. And I was thinking about this scripture, Brother McGowan was reading, and was talking about a hope that we have. And I was thinking, you know, when I met these people and they started telling me about what we have before us, overcoming life and our nature that we were born with, and we're to eventually have a nature like Jesus. And and after hearing this message from different people, you know, you kind of get to, you know, to the point where you feel, you know, you can't accomplish this on your own. It's going to take some help, some outside influence. So I was thinking, you know, if the restoration of the church or that time frame that we're looking forward to and kind of embracing in our thinking, to me, it kind of, like this list of the word-free car, they kind of take the worry, you know. I remember, you know, it seemed like preachers would preach this message and they want to just make it happen. You know, you don't make this happen. You know, God is going one that's going to make it happen. But you know, I know it takes the worry out of it. To me, you just, you know, put your life in God's hand and let him do with you, you know, what he see fit. You know, I can't do this, you know, but if I can somehow put my life in God's hand and take my hands off of it and begin to, then I think it's like that list of cars. I think it, you know, you can not worry, you know. God is in your hand. It's up to God anyway. You know, it's really up to God. It's not up to me. But I will have to be willing, and I have to present myself, you know, to him. But I don't have to. You know, the Bible, well, it was a scripture. It's a scripture song that says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." You know, you can begin to look at this world and look at people, and it does kind of, you know, it maybe bother you some to see people. If you're struggling and see people prospering and you're not prospering and you're serving God, you're giving God your life, and maybe you're not prospering like other people are, it could become fretful somewhat, but the Bible tells us not to fret. You know, it's a fret not, you know. So to me, knowing that if we're going to one day walk in a sevenfold light, you know, whenever that is, you know, if we're going to be in a sevenfold light, then I don't have to worry, you know. To me, it makes it worry-free because, you know, I don't have, I mean, it's not that like I'm a set. The Bible said it's not to, it says not to set on our ease or that, you know, we're not to just, you know, give up and sit back and take our ease and not serve God. But we have to strive serving God with what we have within us, you know, in our power. You know, we're to strive. And I remember Brother Tuck used to give a demonstration on striving. You know, if you got a, just like this woman that pressed through the crowd when she heard that Jesus was coming that way, you know, she put forth some effort. And he used to demonstrate, you know, he had some people, a couple of brothers stand in front of him, and he would push them out of the way and showing that if we're striving, we're going to put forth an effort. And that's what the Bible said, you know, we're to strive. And that is what we're to do. But we're not, you know, striving against flesh and blood. You know, we're not striving against, you know, my brother, my sister. But I got things in me that in my nature, you know. And I don't, it's not physical so much that I'm striving, how I'm striving. It's not so much physical. But it had a lot to do with our mindset and how we began to get our mind on the Lord and get and begin to meditate on the things of God. And I can find, yeah, I find that I'm so much more successful in the things of God when I begin to, not like I said, not so much physical things that I do, but it's more the things that I do by allowing God to, you know, touch my mind. Like Brother Leonard sang this song, Lord, touch my mind. You know, because a lot of it, I'm not saying it's all in our mind. Like they say about people that's sick, and they say, well, they're not really sick. It's just in their mind they're sick. But it's not just our mind, but it plays a big part in what we're doing. It plays a big part. And it's not, so it's a balanced thing. You know, you begin to balance God's work with our natural work. You know, we have to be able to allow God to work in our lives along with our natural activities and begin to somehow incorporate God in what we're doing naturally. You know, he has to be part of that. You know, we talk, I know the spiritual is the most important, but even in our natural lives, we have to be able to allow God to make room for him, you know, in our lives. And that's what I'm finding, you know, after being in this group of people and hearing this message from different points of view and different ministers. I'm thankful that I've heard it, you know, from different ministers, and I've heard it taught in such a way till it was so strong, you know, that like, you know, it was gonna you know, and it does cause people to shape up. I'm not, you know, I'm not against. I was in the military where, you know, you didn't ask a lot of questions. You just did, you know, whatever you're told. And usually it came out better if you did that. I've seen some people that didn't want to do that, and they spent time in places that you don't want to spend time. So I'll just put it that way. So you're better off to doing what you're told. But I remember when I got hired on with the phone company, this boss, he wasn't just an immediate boss, he was like three levels up. And he was, to me, reminded me of a drill sergeant. But we used to have this when they call it, well, they still have United Way, but they call it, what you did, they take an hour of your pay. You're not, this is a term they use. I forgot now. It has to do with United Way. But they took an hour of your pay every once a month, I believe, and you put it in this fund. And fair share, that's what they call it, as your fair share. But this man, you know, we weren't obligated to do this, but the way he brought this out, you know, you feel like you better do it, else you're going to, you know, lose your job, you know. But anyway, he come on so strong with it, you know. And it's a good thing, you know, United Way is a good thing. And give your fair share is what they, you know, they preach that so strong out there. But, and a lot of people gave. I probably one of them that gave because of it. And I talked to people that didn't give, and I think eventually I stayed there long enough to where they stopped doing that. They stopped demanding people to give that money to United Way. They just left it. You could sign a deal and say you're gonna give or not give. Nobody put in a, it was pressure. That's what I'm getting at. It was pressure put on you to give to United Way, a good organization, but you was pressured to give. And a lot of people gave because they were pressured. I found that among these people that I felt pressure. You know, this message, we heard it, you know, over and over, but I felt pressure, you know, that, you know, you felt pressure to do this, you know. And I feel like God is helping us to, we're willing being, we're willing free moral agents to do what we want to do. God allowed us to do that. And he wants us to be willing people to serve him. And I don't think we, you know, to me, if you're serving him because you're pressured to serve him, then I can't see that being truly a servant of God if you're doing this because you're pressured. And I feel like God is helping us to where, I've heard this message, appreciate it very much, and from ministers, different ministers. But I feel like I don't feel the pressure that way anymore. And I feel, like I was saying earlier, worry-free, you know. This is a worry-free message, you know, and it's not... We should have some pressure. I don't think we should be, you know, serving God without any pressure. But I don't think you should be doing it because somebody just tell you to do it. You know, I know we tell our children to do this, and they do it because they gonna get in trouble if they don't. But I believe God eventually gonna have people that are serving him because they love him and they love what they're hearing. They love this message. They love. What this, you know, I was thinking the other day that if we can see righteousness in a way, I was sitting across the table one time from Brother Driver. He's a diabetic, like I'm a diabetic, and I learned something from him. We was, you know, like at these meetings, we was at a meeting in Jacksonville, Florida, and of course we had dinner and they had desserts on the table. We was talking to him and said, which one of these desserts you want, you know? We just talked about it, and he said, I don't want any. And he told us about him, how he could keep from eating things that he shouldn't be eating since he's diabetic. He said he visualized having his legs amputated, his arms amputated. And when he began to think along that line, he doesn't have a problem not eating dessert. You know, he can sit there and everybody around him eating dessert. He don't have a problem with it. Because he visualized that. And sometimes you may have to visualize some things. Now, I was thinking about righteousness. If we can begin to see what the end result of living right, the end result of serving God, and if we can begin to visualize what that's going to do for us. You know, if we can see down the road and see that if I serve God, if I give him my life, if I begin to serve him above everything, then if you can begin to visualize that, begin to see, you know, what righteousness will do for you. You know, again, to because you can see, as the scripture talked about sin being exceedingly sinful. You know, even if you can, you need to see that side too, you know. See that side where sin, how, you know, like I say, if you can begin to see what that's going to do for you, how that's going to hurt you, hurt your life, then it'll keep you away from it. You know, if you can visualize that somehow and begin to see how sin make it exceedingly sinful to where you know, I can't have that. I can't do that. It's going to hurt me. And I want to do the same thing with righteousness and begin to see righteousness in such a way that I want that in my life. And I want to live that way. I want to put all my efforts in that direction to where I'll have righteousness in my life in such a degree till that nothing else. You know, magnify, you know, make it something that's going to mean more to me. You know, actually, we talk about the Lord, you know, how wonderful he is and the example that he has set before us. And he's such a savior. You know, we begin to lift him up in such a way and magnify him in such a way that nothing else, you know, matters. You know, nothing else is going to measure up to it. That's what I'm saying. I want to be able to have him lift him so high, you know, to where nothing else, you know, mean anything, you know, in this world. Something in this world, you know, you look at it, you say, no, it don't mean nothing to me. You know, it don't mean anything. But I want to begin to lift Jesus up to where we can see him, that he means something to us. You know, this is the way we ought to go. This is the way we ought to live. You know, I mean, I get encouraged about the things that Jesus, you know, went through and how he suffered and among, you know, his people that just, you know, seemed like he just couldn't get through to them. You know, I guess, you know, as much as he told, like this, I was reading about this Canaanite woman that had a daughter that was, I guess she was, can't remember what her problem was, but anyway, she was devils. I think she had devils. But anyway, and she came to Jesus, and Jesus, you know, was telling her that he can't give the children meat to dogs. And I thought, man, that's pretty pretty hard. But anyway, but he recognized her faith and said that thy faith, you know, has made thee whole. You know, and I think if we begin to see that if we begin to have faith in the Lord, and I have to repent to you, I didn't have as much faith in when I heard Brother Jerry's operation. That encouraged me so much. I know Brother Smith told him what the doctor said. He was a good candidate, but anyway, I just knew that was so serious. I mean, I couldn't hardly. I was praying for him, but I tell you what, I still believe that he had a good doctor working with him. But I'm giving Jesus the credit. I want to do that because I do think he evidently had a good doctor working, operating, surgeon. But I want to lift up Jesus. So I want to be able to give him the credit because I believe that's what we're gonna. That's how we're going to make it through this world, is our faith in the Lord, is have our faith in him in such a way to where you begin to look at things that's going on in this world. I know you do. You look at the news and things, and it can be disheartening to you, depressing and everything. But begin to lift our faith in Jesus. Begin to know that this is, if we get out of this world, it's going to be because of him. You know, if we make it, it's going to be because of Jesus. That's where I look at it. And the things that's going on, and when I said take the worry, it helps me to not be fearful. It not help me. You know, you can get fear. I don't normally watch news on Wednesday even before church, but we were watching this thing about the man that ended up in Dallas with this Ebola. But, you know, it could cause people to get fearful. You know, I mean, you can get in this world. There's enough things going on in this world until you can get fearful. But I believe if we begin to put our faith and trust in God, in his word, you know, he's already told us, you know, he'll never leave us, never forsake us. You know, that's his word. You know, Brother Weiniger and I went to see Brother Jerry Tuesday. I appreciate Brother Weiniger. He was preaching. I let him out at the door, so he wouldn't have to walk. And when I parked and came up to meet him, he was talking. He was preaching to somebody. He was sitting next to this young man, and he was preaching to him. And he was giving him, I guess you probably know, his favorite scripture, Romans 8:28. And he was telling him, I mean, he was really, Brother Wunderger was going. Gave him a card, invited him to church. I mean, I appreciate Brother Wunderger. Appreciate that, Brother Wunderger. You encourage me. But anyway, we need to keep keep our chin, keep, they say in the world, keep your chin up. You know, keep looking up. Be lifted up in the Lord, because we're going to make it. You know, we're serving a God that's going to help us. You know, I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want anything in this world to cause me to be discouraged about, you know, what's going on out in the world. Because God is greater than anything. Jesus said he's overcome the world. He's overcome all of that. So we can just look to him. We can have our faith and confidence in the Lord, because he's already told us he's overcome the world. You know, so the world don't have not a chance with him. So anyway, I'm thankful tonight that we can be here in the house of God and be able to reach out to him and lift our voices and praise unto God that's able to help us. You know, he can help us, and he will. He is helping us. He's helping us right now. So anyway, I'm thankful tonight to be here. Thankful to be in the house of God and be able to just be among God's people. Be among people that are looking for him, and serving him, wanting to serve him. People that are willing, that love this. You know, I love the things of God. I remember when I used to hear, when I got to hear this message, and I was thinking that I'm getting hearing this or receiving this on a silver platter, and I don't even deserve it. I remember not really understanding. I mean, I don't understand everything now, but I have a greater understanding. And that's what I pray, that, you know, I like to have wisdom and knowledge, but to be able to understand. That's what several times, you know, I read the Bible where people, if they just understood, and like one of the priests was reading to people, I believe it was Ezra. Anyway, he was reading, and the Bible talked about he was reading to help them to understand, you know, things of God. And that's what helps us. You know, if we can understand, you know, what's going on, it takes a lot of the worries and fears and things that can entrap us. It'll take that out when you begin to see it, you know, from God's way, God's point of view. Be able to understand what God is trying to tell us and what he's trying to what he expects of us. You know, I know we're human and we can only do what humans can do, but I believe that we can understand God's way of doing things a little better. The more we understand it, I think we can accomplish more. I believe we understand, and we can serve him and give our life to him. So I'm thankful tonight to be a part of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Red Sea, and he said, I'm going. It's been a wonderful service. Heard some wonderful words, and how thankful I was to be able to see Brother Joseph get the Holy Ghost Sunday night at our youth service. It was wonderful. I don't know how to explain it, but we were talking about it before the church service began about, and I was talking to him about the Holy Ghost and getting it and why we need it. And I just had a feeling. I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if God gave Joseph the Holy Ghost tonight? And it was wonderful to see him finally break down, open up, and yield his spirit over. So I'm thankful for what God's doing in our lives, and he's filling us with his Holy Spirit and delivering us from the things of this world, giving us a greater ability to stand against sin. You know, I was listening to this last song that Sister Dolores sang, and about how it says he rolled back the waters from the mighty Red Sea, and it got me thinking to what happened after that, and about how after the sea crashed down, the Egyptians were destroyed. Now that obviously that's not a happy thought, you know, to see how so many. horses and chariots destroyed in the sea, but to see God's people delivered from bondage, and Miriam took her timbrel and danced, and that was actually my first thought when I saw Sister Inez take the tambourine and start dancing with the tambourine. I thought of Miriam, and I actually bookmarked the scripture earlier. I'd like to read it. It says, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Abraham, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously." Hasn't he triumphed? Has he triumphed in your life? I know he's triumphed in my life, and that's something to glorify him for. And that's what I saw out here during the song service. I saw God's people glorifying God, for he has triumphed in their lives, delivered them from the bondage of sin. He's delivered me. I know he has, and I don't want to take that for granted. Hasn't it been wonderful? Hasn't it been wonderful, the life that we've been able to live since God delivered us? I just wanted to stand and give God a praise for that.
Praise as well tonight, and just thank him for the blessing that I received over the weekend. And I just really felt like a lot of flesh fell away, Lord chiseled away a lot of things that I needed. And I just really appreciate the Lord for that, and his mercy towards us, and what a wonderful Father he is. And I was just thinking, we're going to have 3 grandkids this time next year. And I was just thinking, just what a blessing that is. But I was thinking, when you're a teenager or a young person, you don't truly understand your parents until you're a parent, and or your grandparents till you're one yourself. And I was just thinking, just how much love as a parent and grandparent you have, just how much more God loves us and cares for us. And I'm just so thankful for the Lord and for his goodness and mercy, and, for all the hard times that have come my way, that he's been there for me. And I just appreciate him so much.
Bible school, but I've always been fascinated by Melchizedek, and I've tried to figure it out, and thought I had figured it out pretty good, but I just got through reading it again, and I realized that I hadn't been getting the right message. I really like the way that Brother Smith and the other brethren here straighten it. Gives us a straight on this, on it. We don't have fancy words. We don't have a lot of the things that you'll find in the other churches. Thank God. Because what we have here is the true system, the true meaning of the Word of God. And, if you get the truth, you can live on it. A lot of us think we've got to have this, and anyone that was raised in another church. My first church as a child, I can remember my mother pulling my hair, because if you wiggled, you got your hair pulled. And my hair was curly, and Mama knew which curl to pull. That's no fun either, girls. But the thing of it is, I'm sure that it started right. But over the years, I lost some of the pure joy of knowing God. And when you have a big family and you go through when you become a parent, you really change. And my first husband and I were married for 20 years, and 20 years and 9 days, and I divorced him. And And I should have divorced him earlier, but I didn't. And you realize that the mistakes you make when you're young, you're going to have to live with when you're older. But anyway, God knows. I honestly believe that He knows every leaf that falls, every child that is born. And I think He knows us when we cry. And I think that when God gives you that sweet Holy Ghost, it changes you. I think it opens up a new system within you. I can remember the day we buried my son. He'd just got out of the service and he was in a car wreck. And I wanted to speak in tongues. And I can remember, I believe it was my mother was poking me, just like when I was a little girl, make me sit still, because there was a word that I wanted to say. And so time went on after that, but I can really remember when I no longer had anything to bind me. And I was sitting in church in Springdale, and I started speaking in tongues. And I honestly believe that when you speak in tongues, you almost, at least from my experience, you forget where you are. And I can remember Brother Kenneth Murrow saying, I wish she had come up front. But I spoke in tongues from my seat, standing up. I'm so glad that I know God. And I'm glad that He has given me the speaking in tongues. That sweet, wonderful Holy Spirit that He gives us. We talk about it, but until you experience it, it is something that is powerful. It helps you to grow. It helps you to live. And it gives you a reason to live. Because you think, tomorrow, no matter how bad it seems today or how burdened you can be or whatever, tomorrow there'll be a better day. And I really appreciate God and I appreciate this church so much.
I wanted to stand and say I praise the Lord and glad to be here. I've thinking about the visualizing that I heard from the platform, Brother Talley, if we could just catch a glimpse of no tears and no sadness and not having to lock your doors and no trash, can you imagine? It says in the New Testament, eyes hasn't seen or we can't even enter in our visual mind. The greatest structures in the world, even the missile that went all the way to the moon and returned to astronauts, they had to be visualized. And God was in that. I was right in the middle of it. God was in every part connected together. Our leader, Wernher von Braun, would pray, God, if you don't help us, we will accomplish nothing. And God was in that. And if we could just visualize and eliminate what we're reading trash-wise and just visualize the things God has in store for us. I'm here 78-year-old, and I can't even visualize living to be 1,000-year-old. And the song says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as a sun, we'll have no less days than those when we first begun. So just keep our eyes on the target. I go away with this one thing from this meeting. Visualize what God has in store for us.
your way, the more you wish you hadn't. Because all the testimonies that got up before yours kind of make yours pale. And sometimes I remember back in the, Brother Tucker used to say, stand up to be seen, speak up to be heard, and sit down to be appreciated. And sometimes the shortest and the most concise testimonies make the biggest impression sometimes. There was a famous writer that said, brevity is the soul of wit. You drag out a story a little bit too long, and you start to lose your audience. And sometimes, just like we used to have in the old days, I'm sure y'all remember the popcorn testimonies, where someone would pop up and say one or two lines, and that was it. And sometimes you got more out of that one or two lines. And I think sometimes because we concentrate on what someone's saying when they, keep it short. So, but I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for God keeping his hand over me, and for keeping his hand over Brother Jerry. It really gave me a shock. You don't really think of, somebody being in the shape they're in until you go see him. And I walked in the hospital, and I saw how weak he looked, and I really wasn't prepared for that. And to hear that he came through it with such flying colors, you don't really, sometimes you don't appreciate people until you face the risk of losing them, or you actually lose them. And I'm glad that he's going to be around to do what he does. No one else can do what he does. But I'm thankful for God keeping his hand over us and keeping his hand over my family over the years. And I was thinking about when we were talking earlier about visualizing, that's one of the key things in almost any sporting event, is you visualize the good. You never visualize the bad, because if you visualize the bad, it's probably going to happen. I've never talked about this a lot, but when I first started riding a motorcycle, I'll never forget that somebody had stopped. We'd stopped down here, and I was on a group ride, and I was so full of pride. I was on a Triumph Thunderbird, and I thought I was all that. Everybody else was on Triumph Bonnevilles, but I was on a Triumph Thunderbird, which I had no business being on. But somebody made the comment, y'all be really careful through this next section of turns we're going to go through, because last week we lost a rider down here. And I got that thought stuck in my head, and I started visualizing. And I wasn't visualizing completing the turn. I was visualizing what happened. And the last thought that went through my head before I put that bike on the ground was, I wonder what caused that last guy to go down. And about that time, whoop, there I went. And off in the bushes I went, and the rest of it, I didn't want anybody to know. I had that bike up and up off the ground, and they said, you going to call your wife? I said, no, I'm riding at home, which was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. I've never been in such pain, but I got it home. But when I went, and I didn't learn my lesson, I went and bought another one. And but this one, I bought a much smaller one, and I remember the Brother Nathan and I went down to, I think it was Jackson, Mississippi, to pick it up, and this old man walks out, and when he sold me that bike, he didn't know me from Adam. He goes, you have to remember one word riding a motorcycle. And I thought, well, what's the one word? He goes, humility. Which is not the thing that you think of when you think of somebody riding a motorcycle. But I said, okay, what do you mean by that? And he goes, because you're not going to win any altercation. You're not going to win it with another motorcycle. You're not going to win it with a car. You're not going to win it with a truck. You're not going to win it with a June bug at 70 miles an hour if he hits you in the eye. You're not going to win it with a hummingbird. You're just not going to win. And he's right. I've proven that a couple of times since then. But when we was talking about visualizing, if I'm in my car all day long, and the news and all the bad news, the realtors and the bad things we hear, that's what I dwell on, I can feel the panic and the fear and the worry build up in me. But if I just turn it off, we went on a little vacation here about a week ago, and the whole time I was gone, I didn't know anything about Russians invading our airspace over the Bering Strait. I didn't know anything about anything. And I was so much, and I know we have to know some, and I think about that, you know, that there's the scripture that says, the wicked man fleeth when none pursueth. And a lot of times we build these things up in our minds, and especially if we're not living right, or if I'm not living right, and I conjure these things up in my mind, what if, what if, what if, what if? And when it comes right down to it, you know, God's there all along. And I think of all the things. I remember when I was growing up and Mama saw a head looking in the kitchen window. And it was dark. Daddy was out of town. There's a great big head silhouetted against the kitchen window with two big eyes looking in the kitchen window. You know what it was? It was a big black cat. But until you could see that in the daylight, that's the most fearful thing in the world. But when you see things in the daylight, and I was, you know, when we went, did this camping trip and we pulled into Clayton Lake, New Mexico, and under the cover, we got in there about 9 o'clock, and it was a, you know, it was a dreary, dark road going up to this campground we went to, and I remember going in there and thinking, good Lord, just we'll sleep here tonight, get up in the morning, we'll get out of here. But, you know, by the next morning when the sun come up and lit up that campground, how beautiful it was, and it was just because we couldn't see. We were living in, we were, at that time, we're in darkness. And I think about how much is, you know, how much we torment ourselves with what we don't know and what we fear, when really, you know, if we could see things in the daylight, it's a beautiful place. And where we're at, it's a beautiful place. And I think about it all, you know, many times when I'm calling on my customers and everybody is so worried about this and worried about that, their job situation, their home situation. And I start thinking, if I, you know, what would I be like? Where would I be in my mind if I didn't have this city of refuge to run to? And, you know, sometimes as a young person and sometimes as an older person, you can view this as a, I don't want to call it a curse, but sometimes as young people we do, you know, tend to think, you know, why me? Why did I get called to this? Why couldn't I just have been? But then again, I think as I get older, like, how could I function? How, you know, and you wonder, and it makes you realize why people turn to alcohol, why people turn to the things they turn to just to numb their senses when we know, you know, that we have a hope. You know, we've read the back of the book, and you know, we know that no matter what we go through, we know we're going to win. Brother Liniger said something one time. I used to really, you know, Brother Tucker used to teach a lot on persecution and tell all this, the horrible stories of the Romans and how the Romans persecuted the Jews and the horrible tortures and the things like that. And I remember going on a camping trip one time with some brothers here in the church, and we're sitting around the campfire, and one of them wants to start talking about Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm like, we're sitting around a campfire. I'm looking at a fire. I think we could probably come up with something better than this. But something Brother Liniger said one time eased my mind. He said that no matter what we have to go through, whatever we have to go through, that God will have us ready for it when we get there. Whether it's the small things in everyday life right now or the big things that we're looking at maybe coming down the road, that we shouldn't worry or fret. God's going to have us ready. And little by little by little, you know, the things that you didn't think you could do, things that I didn't think I could do when I was 15, things I could never thought I could put up with. Now, I'm at a different point in my life, and that's not the big booger bear that it once was. And now, you know, God, and I think little by little, and, you know, we see in these incremental improvements that God's getting us ready for something bigger, not just the bad, but the good. You know, we may not be ready for the good right now. I've heard for years about how this, you know, church is going to fill up, and I'm thinking, when, Lord, when? But we may not be ready. We're not. I'm sure we're not. It's proof that we're not because they're not here. But if when we get ready, they'll be here. And what's the, you know, they'll move you. If you build it, they will come. Maybe we're in the building process now. But I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful that God has had his hand over not just us, but not just myself and my family, but this whole church. You know, I think many times when Brother Smith talks about how we've seen so few tragedies and we've seen so few, you know, terrible things that have happened, and I think about that and I appreciate that we're under his covering. And that's many times. I know we're not supposed to serve the Lord out of fear, but sometimes I fear leaving his covering. And I do, because I know that I have nothing else. I'm nothing without him. You know, I think I can take so much credit and think I'm all that, and all that takes is one phone call from the home office. Just like some people may fear the one phone call from the IRS or whatever, but it'll take me right back to my knees. Oh, Lord, what was I thinking? But I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for the good words we've heard tonight.
Hasn't he been merciful? Hasn't he been kind? Hasn't he been good not to leave us behind? Hasn't he provided in our time of need? Hasn't he been merciful?
He has indeed been merciful.
heard some good things tonight. Amen. Brother Ogden, the thing of it is, when we live at 10,000 years, we're not going to have an old body.